California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Hope you're having a good day. I myself am having an awesome hump day. Good, good. Two first hours. We had Jungle Legend Cruz Pedregon in studio in hour number one. Jerry Kramer made the Hall of Fame. We had him on in hour number two. This hour, the head basketball coach at Rhode Island, Dan Hurley, will be stopping by via the phones in about 35 minutes. And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, that is the XR4TI. You can see them, the front row, from my left to my right, Alvy.
Hey, Alvy, look at the camera.
No.
Dude does not look happy. You've got Hawk. You've got Keith. You've got Austin. You've got me. There's your XR4TI. And the big story of the day, Josh McDaniels, allegedly on his way to Indy to become the head coach of the Colts, only decided the last second, let's not get into that right now. They tweeted that they had hired him. And there was going to be a presser. And the thing is getting messier and messier and messier. The guy who's truly stuck right in the middle of this whole thing is agent Bob Lamont. He's stuck in the middle because he represents Josh McDaniels and Colts GM Chris Ballard. So it seemed like that's how that deal got done. That's easy to broker. He represents both of those guys. You could see where that deal would get done. You could see why there was a connection there. If you're a head coach, what are you looking for if you're Josh McDaniels? You're looking for a situation where you've got a franchise quarterback. Andy Luck, assuming that he's right physically. You're looking for a situation where you're on the same page with your GM. He is. They have the same agent. It makes sense, doesn't it? They no longer have the same agent. According to Dan Graziano from ESPN, Bob Lamont, who represents Josh McDaniels and Chris Ballard, is terminating his relationship with McDaniels. He didn't fire the GM. First of all, agents rarely fire clients. It's the other way around. Clients fire agents all the time. Agents do not fire clients unless they don't pay, unless they're a bad look for their business, or maybe in this case, they make the agent look really bad. Agents understand that normally they look like the bad guy, and it's part of their job to look like the bad guy. But Lamont does not look good in this. You know, you can argue that McDaniels went rogue and that there was nothing the agent could have done, but the agent needs to know. The agent, I'm not blaming Lamont. I'm just saying it also does not look good for him either. If he didn't know what was going on, that's a problem. If he didn't know that his guy could go rogue at the last second, that's a problem. It's his job to make sure that his client does not go rogue, especially when his client is dealing with another one of his clients. So I would argue that that's why he fired him. So it's all coming back to McDaniels, and I really don't think he gives a damn at this point. 1-800-636-8686. So the agent fired McDaniels. And I don't think this is making the Patriots look any better to anybody outside of Patriot Nation. And as I mentioned, the Colts are back to square one. Philadelphia has got a big parade tomorrow. Why don't we talk about that for a minute? Philadelphia's got a big parade tomorrow. The Thursday parade. The Super Bowl parade. I wonder, any of you going to that parade? Anybody listening right now in Philly, South Philly, New Jersey maybe, are you thinking about going to that parade? If so, the mayor has a message for you. You see, tomorrow the city of Philadelphia is going to have a parade that is six decades in the making, from Broad and Patterson all the way down to the Art Museum. Everybody is invited. Everybody. Everybody, that is, except a certain group of people that Mayor Jim Kenney would like to have sit this one out. That group, singled out by the mayor, a group of social rejects that he sternly refers to as knuckleheads.
The small number of knuckleheads should stay home. Every city that's gone through this has had this celebration. There's always somebody, some element of people who do this. There were literally tens of thousands of people on the street, and, you know, the knucklehead contingent was extremely small. I know our police department is working hard to identify those particular individuals and to also make arrests with them. I believe somebody may be even turning themselves in as a result of the car being turned over.
Love this guy. Love that town. Right when I thought that I couldn't love Philadelphia anymore, the mayor of the city drops a knucklehead blast straight from the dais. I mean, it's so G-rated, but it's so effective. It's the perfect press conference word from an elected official. Knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads.
Buffoons. Dimwits. Dopes. Yeah, dope's a great word. Dope is a great word. Kook is still my favorite word. It's a palindrome, and it describes things perfectly. I love kook. Except knucklehead is strong. Dopes, goofballs, imbeciles, morons, numbskulls. None of those come anywhere near comparing to that knucklehead scud. Knucklehead is strong.
Knucklehead.
I mean, it's like, it's so disdainful. And really, it's like a disapproving dad word. I mean, how many of us just heard our old man when Mr. Mayor dropped that knucklehead blast?
The small number of knuckleheads should stay home.
Mayor's got a job to do, right? He'd prefer the sign climbing, awning jumping, bottle throwing, fire starting, window breaking, car flipping, horse poop eating knuckleheads. Just stay home.
Knucklehead.
But let's be real. That's not going to happen. You see, knucks live for these very moments. These are the kind of huge stages that knucks thrive on. And there's not a knuck out there that's going to hear a mayor ask them to stay down and then actually stay down. In fact, the mayor just threw super bait into Lake Knuck. And I can see the knucks showing up and showing out tomorrow just because some suit told them not to be there. Except knuckleheads, y'all be warned. Police Commissioner Richard Ross Jr. also is on to you. And the commish says, you knucks have no idea how much you're helping the police out when you roll tape on yourselves.
In large part, some of these people are helping us with their own video. That shows you how idiotic it is.
These guys are the best. I don't know what I like better. The fact that these knuckleheads do roll tape on themselves, or the fact that the authorities are just mocking them. Like, these idiots don't even know how much they're helping us by rolling tape on themselves. However,
in large part, some of these people are helping us with their own video. That shows you how idiotic it is.
It does show you how idiotic it is, but it also shows you how awesome it is. You know why? What the hell is a knucklehead supposed to do? Go full knuck and not roll video on it? Go full knuck and not film it? Fat chance. Picks or it didn't happen, brah. Picks or it did not happen. Gotta feed the beast. Got to feed the beast. Gotta feed the gram. You think that knucklehead in the Randall Cunningham Gamer is taking a mouthful of horse dung if half the city was not going to roll on it? No chance. Knucks gonna knuck. And they're gonna film it too. And self-incriminate themselves with crystal clear iPhone 10 video. That's part of what makes a knucklehead a knucklehead.
Knucklehead.
Enjoy the parade tomorrow, Philly. And remember, have your phones out. The police will thank you for it when they're arresting you later. Can't wait for that parade. I'd give anything for that parade. Why? Because there are going to be several hundred thousand people there that are doing all the right things, that earned it, that deserve it. It's going to be the best day of their lives. And then there's going to be a few hundred knuckleheads doing what they do, and they're going to get what they deserve. And it's going to be entertaining to all of us. Man, I wish I were at that parade. Philly, I wish I were at that parade. But I love the police commissioner and the mayor cracking back already, going, you do it, knuckleheads. Bring it, Nux. We're ready for you. Film yourself, Nux. It's making our job so much easier. Because as I pointed out, he knows they will. Nux gonna knuck. And unless there's video, it didn't happen. Let's go to Philly. As long as we're on topic, I got to know, what's tomorrow going to be like? We go to John in Philadelphia. It's good to have you, John. How are you?
Jim, thanks for having me. What a place to be, man. It's going to be absolutely crazy. 42 years ago, I was in the second Flyers Cup parade. My dad worked for the Flyers. And we were in the bus, the second bus behind the players. They climbed on the bus. They crushed the roof in. And they let some guy, and we were laughing at the bus ahead of us because it was stacked with people. And I was too young to know how dangerous it was. We're going through town. We look over at one of the buildings with all the glass, right?
Sure.
We see our own bus stacked with people. And somebody decided to get off the bus, and Ed Snyder's bodyguard had to push eight people back out into the street with his foot in one guy's chest. Fast forward to 42 years later, right? Now, remember yesterday you were talking about being at Disney World and camping?
Yes.
I want you to imagine camping for 51 years in Disney World and never being allowed to go home. That's how an Eagle fan feels. What is going to come out of them at this parade? It's going to be absolute mayhem and crazy.
All right, John, John, I'm going to jump in. I think I appreciate you listening yesterday. You kind of mixed my two stories. I didn't camp in Disney World. What I said was I hated camping, and then somebody else called up and said that it was on – I can't remember her name. A gal called up, and she said, hey, Rome, you got to get TSA prep or TSA pre on hell. On hell. On hell was her name. And what she said was, yeah, you know, three kids under the age of five. We were just at Disney World. There weren't very many temper tantrums. She's pretty funny.
Lickety-split.
But then she told me, you got to get TSA, Rome, lickety-split. Anyway, John, what I'm saying is you mixed two of my stories. I didn't camp at Disney World. I said I hate camping, and I had a really bad experience at Disneyland. But I know what you're saying. You're saying take your worst memories and then take the worst place you ever went to and then spend 51 years there. And then tell me how you feel when you get out. What do you mean, like purgatory, jail, Disneyland, camping? He said if that's how that went down, that was the Flyers. Broad Street Boys, right? Bobby Clark. If that's the way they acted in the mid-70s, those teams were great. If that's the way that city reacted to a Stanley Cup championship, how is that city going to react 40-plus years later to an NFL World Championship, a Super Bowl title? We're going to find out. I can't wait to see it. Hey, Philly, I'm coming from the right place with you. I'm so happy for you. I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there. And believe me, I'll be watching. I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there for the several hundred thousand that have waited their whole lives for it. They're going to do all the right things. And I wish I could be there for the several hundred or couple hundred or 100, quote, knuckleheads. They're going to do what they do. Knuck's going to knuck. Joel Gonzalez says, can we get hashtag Knucks gonna knuck trending? I don't know, Joel, can you? Knock yourself out. Knucks gonna knuck. Knucks gonna knuck. Hey, do me a favor. Don't swing on any horses. Do not swing on any horses. That goes way beyond Knucks gonna knuck. Don't swing on a horse. Now, if you want to jump off an awning, jump onto a car. At such beer, wow, tweets, stay home knuckleheads. I don't think the Eagles are going to throw a parade for the 30 responsible adults that live in Philly.
The small number of knuckleheads should stay home.
No, I mean, he said it. The mayor said it. The police commissioner said it. Everybody, for the most part, acted pretty well. You know, at that party, there were so few arrests. There were very few arrests that night. There were some convenience store issues. There were some department store issues. You know, there's always going to be the idiot or the knuck who sees that opportunity. Hey, wait a minute. We won a world championship. Time for me to get a free stereo. I've never made that connection. By the way, I've never made the connection between this is the biggest moment of our life. Let's set our own neighborhood on fire. No, you know why? Because knuck's going to knuck and looter's going to loot. At House Punter tweets, War Gronk showing up in an Eagles jersey to party at the parade. And maybe. I would not be surprised if he retired, honestly. I don't think that's that far-fetched. Is there anything physically that has not happened to that guy playing the game of football yet? Is there still an injury that guy hasn't suffered? Concussion? Check. Torn ACL? Check. Back surgery? Check. Wrecked wing? Check. Elbow? Check. Forearm? Check. Surgery? Check. Surgery, 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 check. Robbery, check. I'll tell you something, Gronk. I got some advice for you. I've got advice for Gronk.
Yo soy fiesta.
I've got advice for Gronk.
The small number of knuckleheads should stay home.
Alvy, Blink Home Security. Ah, I see where you're going with that, Van Smack. Thank you, Alvy.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Talk to you for a few seconds about Kalo rings. Kalo rings are rings that you wear when your traditional ring will not work. They're great for working out. They're great when you're on the job. You've seen them on athletes like Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. You've heard me talk about them on this program. Kalo rings are everywhere. With 50 styles and colors to choose from, you can find them at Dick's Sporting Goods, Bass Pro Shops, Academy Sports, or even online at Kalo.com. Q-A-L-O. Kalo.com. All right, so quickly, I've got Dan Hurley coming up next segment. You know, if the Colts want to find an organization that's in even more trouble than they are themselves, all they need to do is drive east. Drive east to Columbus, hang a left, drive another 140 miles or so northeast to Cleveland because the Cavaliers are imploding at a record pace. You see them last night. They were thrashed 116-98 by the 17-win Orlando Magic. The Magic who were without Aaron Gordon. And I'm personally not sure what's worse, that they lost by 18 to a 17-win team or the fact that they were up by 21 and they turned a 21-point lead into an 18-point loss. That's not easy to do. They scored 43 points in the first quarter and 9 in the fourth quarter. Clutch. That is the mark of greatness. You have to work really hard at being really terrible to pull that off. That is not easy to do. And as always, it's not as simple as making a trade to right this ship. Then again, maybe it would. Tom Withers of the AP tweeted earlier in the week, quote, asked one of the Cavs how much DeAndre Jordan could help right now, and he said, Montel Jordan could help us right now, end quote. That's what I'm talking about. Because this is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Oh, and that got back to Montel. And apparently he's in. Quote, I'm good for 2 points, one rebound, and 5 good strong fouls. Hey, look, if I'm the Cavs, I don't laugh that one off. First of all, dude's like 6'8", so he can give you the rim protection that is sorely lacking on this team. Number two, you know he'll play with more heart than some of the guys in Cavs gear right now. If anything, Montel will come in with leadership and a plan. Pre-game huddle. Who's the guy who's going to lay out the strategy? Montel. This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Because right now, all the Cavs do is lose games and spit out terrible quotes. They've lost 13 of 19 since Christmas. One anonymous teammate told ESPN, quote, that was a new low tonight. Yeah, but when things get tough, the tough get going. When things get tough, everybody pulls together. Isn't that right, Isaiah Thomas?
It's like right now, when we hit adversity, we go our separate ways.
Pretty damning. Pretty accurate, though. Hey, look, I never, ever, ever, ever want to call a professional athlete a quitter. Essentially, the worst thing that you could ever say about an athlete is that he quit. And I don't hot take like that. I'm not about that life. I mean, that's the first thing that any athlete is ever taught. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Quitting is the worst thing. I mean, isn't that like the most important thing we all learn in life? Don't quit. You know, that whole winners never quit, quitters never win thing. Yeah, well, these guys are quitting. The Cavs are quitting on the season, on themselves, on each other, on the coach, on LeBron, on the fans. You can't have that much talent and night in and night out implode the way they are without quitting. What say you, Duanye?
It's easy for our soul to get snatched from us when the team start making shots. It's basketball. And we got to figure that out. It's embarrassing. It's frustrating. It's all those things. This is one of the first time I've experienced something like this in my 15 years. And I've won 15 games before.
Soul snatching and having an experience that he's never had before. And he was once on a 15-win team. I mean, that's bad. It's gotten so bad that Cleveland, that LeBron was asked after the game if he'd be willing to waive his no-trade clause so he could get the hell out.
I'm here for the long haul. You know, I'm here for this season right now to try to, you know, figure out ways we can still compete. I couldn't give up on my teammates like that. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it. We put too much into the game, you know, every single day. We go out and prepare, even though win, lose, or draw. At the end of the day, we are brothers, and we understand that. So, you know, I owe it to my teammates to finish the season out, no matter how it ends up. So, no, I would never waive my no-trade clause.
That's a strange response. I'm here for the long haul. What, March? The long haul? This guy's not here 1 second longer than he has to be. Of course he's not here for the long haul. He'll play out his contract. That whole thing about we're brothers. No, you're not. I mean, I'm not even in that locker room, and I can tell how bad that locker room is. Obviously, it's some of the worst chemistry ever. You know how I know that? You just took a 21-point lead and turned it into an 18-point loss against a 17-win team. But what do you expect the guy to say? I mean, forget the answer for a moment and think about the fact that LeBron, the kid from Akron, the guy who came back to Cleveland and brought them a world championship, is being asked whether he'd waive a no-trade clause from Cleveland. And then remember, it could actually get even worse than it is. As for the answer, kind of tough to tell what to make of that. I mean, is he saying that he wants to stay because he wants to fight and turn it around? Or is he doing it to put pressure on Dan Gilbert and the front office to make a move before the deadline for DeAndre Jordan or Montel Jordan or the guys from Blackstreet? Or is he just so pissed off with how Dan Gilbert has handled everything that he wants to make sure that Gilbert does not get anything in return if he walks in the summer? Or is it all the above? I would never, ever rule out any team that has LeBron. Not when you see that Cavs crew that he took to the finals back in the day. Not when you remember he won that City A World Championship. I would never rule out any team with LeBron, except go ahead and rule out this team. Or any reconstructed version of this team after the trade deadline. Because there's not a move or even four moves that is going to fix what seems to be unfixable. Go ahead and drop a bomb on it right now. Because LeBron isn't coming back. Not if he's not even on speaking terms with the owner right now. He's not. And if Gilbert hated him for leaving back in the day, how much must he hate him right now for being unwilling to waive his trade clause and leave right now? Never thought that I would say this. But the Cavs may even be more dysfunctional than the Browns across the street. And the Browns are the most dysfunctional franchise in all of sports. Something is rotten in C-Town, and as usual, some of the best fans anywhere are getting the worst deal of all. And they may not have hit rock bottom. A trade deadline's coming fast. Something better change. When we come back, we talk college basketball. The head coach at Rhode Island, Dan Hurley, is my guest. About 10 minutes out. Sooner than that, even. But not before I get you caught up. Crazy day. Lots going on. Here's the very latest sports update for you. Wang in SF tweets, Josh McDaniels was in Indy for the long haul. Sign LeBron. He never actually got to Indy. You got to admit, nobody works out like LeBron. Just look at his Instagram feed. Who does that on the back end of a back-to-back?
You don't work it out all day after a back-to-back.
No one. Strive for greatness.
I live for it.
Strive for greatness, cuz. There's a reason why he's the GOAT, allegedly. Time for the ATP. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every day. I am efforting that for some reason. Maybe it's you clones. I'm looking for a good question. We're also efforting Dan Hurley, head basketball coach at Rhode Island. They're coming off a really nice year, and they're having another good season right now. They're top 20 in the AP poll, and they're at home on Friday night against Davidson. I've got that coming up for you. Busy, busy day. Didn't even get to the Knicks and what happened last night to Kristaps Porzingis. Went up for a dunk, came down awkwardly. The Knicks, fearing the worst, had the worst happen because they're the Knicks. The worst always happens with the Knicks. And it happened last night. Under 9 minutes left in the second quarter, he went up for that dunk and he came down badly. Bad, bad thing.
Last year he was at 77. Most of his numbers are much better than last year. Nice feed inside, and Porzingis throws it down, and he's hurt. Porzingis grabbing his left knee, and he's in some severe pain. Antetokounmpo came underneath KP when he dunked the ball. That's a scary sight for Porzingis and the Knicks fans. And you can tell he's in some severe pain.
Knicks TV, that was a terrible thing to see. Terrible thing to see. Terrible for them, terrible for the NBA. And you knew the moment he landed that something was all wrong. And it turned out to be the worst case scenario. Torn left ACL, season over. And really not just for him, but for the Knicks. I'm not saying the Knicks should cancel the rest of their games, but the Knicks should cancel the rest of their games and give the fans their money back. Honestly, Adam Silver should think about canceling the entire season. I mean, that's how much fun this guy is to watch. And if he's not out there, I don't know that I want to see any more basketball the rest of the way. Just give Golden State another title in a private ceremony, and then we'll all come back in the fall, and we'll start playing basketball again. You want to know how painful that was? It was so painful that I had a hard time celebrating when the Greek Freak went Greek Freak later on in that game. But that doesn't mean that I won't run that moment back right now, because finding the little things that bring us joy is part of the healing process.
Lance Thomas fakes, whips a pass right to the hands of Middleton.
Cross-court passes.
Oh, Antetokounmpo throws it down as Middleton lobbed it up perfectly.
One of the more popular players in the league started on the All-Stars team this with the Statue of Liberty.
That's a 6'11" guy leaping over a 6'6" guy for an alley-oop. That's not supposed to happen. In fact, that never did happen. Not until last night. Normally, I see something like that, and I not only come off my couch, I run out the front door, and I sprint around the block. Last night, I could barely move after seeing that. And the only thing more disrespectful than the dunk was the comment after the dunk. Try and get to that in a minute. As promised, though, we're joined by the head basketball coach at Rhode Island, sixth season with the Rams. He led Rhode Island to an A-10 title and the NCAA tournament last season. They're 19-3. They're 11-0 in conference play. Best conference start in school history. They're number 18 in the AP poll, and they're at home against Davidson on Friday night. Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley is my guest. Dan, it's good to have you back on. How are you?
Jim, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Dan, great to have you. Looking forward to it. So you beat VCU. Let me start right there. You beat them Friday night by 13, Dan, in their place. It's a tough environment to play. What did it tell you about your guys that they could go out on the road and execute the way they did in a hostile environment?
And that just we're a deep, experienced team. You know, we've got great guard play. You know, we are a really good passing team. We don't turn the ball over a whole lot. And we force our opponent to be uncomfortable at their offensive end of the court. So we're a deep team. We're battle tested, and we're excited to finish the season strong.
Dan Hurley joining us. Let me stick on that point for 1 minute. That you're deep and you have experience. In fact, after the game, you said, "quote We out seniored them, out experienced them." It's a great line. Everybody always talks about the value of having seniors, but from a practical standpoint, how does that experience show up on the court?
Well, just you don't blink during the stretch of the games. You know, you have better shot selection. You tend to be a better passing team, you know, which creates better shots. And then, you know, you understand the value of playing high-level defense and the importance of rebounding the ball well and just all the things that mature teams do.
Dan Hurley joining us. You know, when you were on last year after you won the A-10 title and you were heading to the NCAA tournament, we talked about what E.C. Matthews has meant to your program. You're currently on a 14-game winning streak, and it's coincided with his return from a wrist injury. What's it meant to have him back playing once again?
Well, he attracts, you know, the other team's, you know, best perimeter defender. you know, and so much attention and scouting report that, you know, it just opens up the court, you know, for our other outstanding players, you know, and we could beat you at the three-point line and we could beat you in the paint. You know, and then to have a guy the last 8 minutes of the game that could score big buckets, you know, those are the real players, the guys that can deliver down the stretch and, you know, hit big threes and get to the rim and finish. And he's a closer, and we win when he's on the court.
He's a closer, and you talked about the great guard play. He's part of that four-guard lineup that is so dangerous. I know you and your staff watched some film of Villanova before the season to see how they employed their four-guard lineups. What was your takeaway from those film sessions?
Oof, just you know, how rock-solid those guys are. You know, they're like brainwashed by Jay. They're just in the right spots on both ends of the court. You know, defensively, the level of communication and at the offensive end, just the spacing and the passing. And we were close last year. You know, we almost got Oregon in the round of 32. And we, you know, to take the next step, we knew we had to get better offensively, become a better passing team. And we just went to school on what Jay does.
Rhode Island head basketball coach Dan Hurley joins us. You know, about last year, you were close. You win the conference tournament, and then you make the tournament for the first time since Lamar Odom was a Ram, and you didn't just show up. You beat Creighton. You gave Oregon all they could handle in the next round. So what was that first taste of the tournament like, and then how much did that benefit your players coming into this season?
You know, for me, as a high school coach for 9 years, it was one of the reasons why I got into college. Was I wanted to experience that as a coach. You know, I experienced it as a player at Seton Hall, you know, and loved it. It was a thrill, but to take a program that was at the bottom of this league and build it from the ground up with you know, with this group of guys, it's just been an unbelievably rewarding experience. And the confidence that our players have from getting on that stage last year and playing real well, and almost getting to the Sweet 16, being 2 minutes away with a lead. We're very, very hungry and determined to put ourselves back in that spot again.
You know, it's so true, Dan. When you got there, that program was struggling. They were at the bottom of the league, and now you have more than 100 wins at the school. You've got that trip to the tournament. Being in the top 20 now seems like a pretty normal thing, and you've got a monster recruiting class on the way. When you first arrived, I know you saw opportunity or you wouldn't have taken the shot, but did you see this level of success being possible at Rhode Island and this quickly?
Yeah, it was the Cat Mobleys, the Tyson Wheelers, you know, the Lamar Odoms, you know, Jim Harrick and Tom Penders and Al Skinner, you know, some of the great coaches and players that have made runs. And I felt like if they could do it, I could do it. It was about getting the right coaches and the right players in here and being able to recruit 3- and 4-star type talents to come in here.
You know, getting 3- and 4-star type talents, but Dan, for instance, I talked to Chris Mullin yesterday, and he talked about the need to recruit players who want to be coached. You bring a level of intensity to your practices and your games on the sideline. So how do you go about identifying guys? I mean, you need talent, obviously, but identifying the right guys who want to be coached.
I just think that kids get weeded out in our recruiting process, just understanding that they're going to be coached by a Hurley. You know, not everyone's going to sign on for that. You know, not everyone wants to have the same intensity in a June workout as you would in a January workout. You know, the standards, the levels of accountability. You know, we recruit guys that want to act out their career, want to grow as men, you know, get a great education and be ready to be successful. So, you know, we don't play around. You know, we develop our guys fully, and when you get those types of hungry guys, workers, you got a chance to do something great.
Dan Hurley, my guest. Listen, there's no way that I let you go without talking about intensity, without bringing up that vicious, savage, two-handed jam that you threw down at Roadie Madness back in October. Now, I know there may have been a trampoline involved, but from watching it, I feel like you did a lot more of the work than the trampoline did. What did it feel like to bring down the house like that, Dan? It was awesome.
No, well, listen, man, I was crushing it for like a month leading up to that with a lot of leg work, man. I was getting my squats. I was doing my deadlifts. You know, I knew right. That moment was coming. You know, and at 44 years old at the time, you know, there's a lot of heat on me. If I would have got stuck on that rim and fell on my back like a turtle, that would have been a bad, bad night. So, you know, I took the long run, man, and I hit the trampoline perfect, and I crushed it, man, and I became a legend.
All true. I couldn't have said that better. You hit that thing perfect. You threw it down. It was beautiful, and you did become a legend. The players, they loved it. They loved it. They rallied around it. That was a great, great moment. You've got Davidson at home on Friday night. You're back in the top 20. Another big year. Dan Hurley, my guest. Dan, you were and are a legend. Great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much. We'll do it again soon.
All right, Jim. Later, man.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. That was fun. You got to see the video. It's so good. He said, I took the long run. I've been working on my legs. I knew that if I fell on my back like a turtle, that would not have been a good night. So he goes, I hit it perfectly, and then I was a legend. He was, too. That is funny to me. Funny because he's right. He was a legend. We've got Podcast Wednesday. Normally Podcast Tuesday, but coming off the week that we had back at Super Bowl Minneapolis, things got pushed back about a day, and I want to make sure we did it the right way. My in-studio guest for this week's podcast, the original content podcast, is Thomas Jones, the coal miner's son. And he's going to be here soon, and we're going to lay that thing down. He was one of my favorite players when he played the game. I want to say, but I don't want to get into that right now. I just want to say that I am really eager to get caught up with him. It's been a couple of years. He will be in studio. We'll talk about his career. We'll talk about his second career. We'll talk about his coming up the way he did. Super compelling guy. Thomas Jones is going to be the guest on episode 23. I struggled with this, but I brought back your calls. The voicemail is back. I thought about it last night. I said, you know, against my better judgment, I'm going to tweet out for it. And I did. And you showed up in a certain way. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying you showed up in a certain way. Don't forget, tomorrow is the parade, the Eagles parade. And I'll be all over that. Clones, are you the one that always picks the winner? Are you lucky? Here is your chance to turn that luck into cash and prizes. Download America's Best Racing app. Stay lucky. Start playing today. You've heard me talk about this before on the program. It's free to play. It's free to download. Pick a winner each week. Build a streak. Win. Get a streak of 20 in a row. Win $1 million. Play Stay Lucky right now on the road to the Triple Crown.
I've been listening to you for years. You get it. And there's not very, it's not very often that I get interviewed by somebody more famous than me. So I'm a little nervous, Jim. But
come on.
Because, you know, I was just telling Jim, I go way back to the early 90s.
Cruz, that thing about you putting on the jungle decal, I mean, that means the world to me. This is not a sponsorship deal. This is not something that I paid for. This was not something I asked for. This is something you just did.
You have to have sponsors to race these cars. I spend over $3 million a year. That's what it takes to fund this car. Mm. So I have to have sponsors. But there is also an element, the human element. I want someone to know that, hey, the guy that's in there is a Raider fan, a Jim Rome fan. You cut me, I bleed Raiders. You cut me, I bleed Jim Rome show. So, but I want people to know, hey, we are sponsored. We do have to have decals on these cars. But there's an element of, hey, personal. I like this stuff. So check it out.
Now I'm done. Two-time NHRA Funny Car World Champ, Jungle Legend, Cruz Pedregon with a huge call. We had NFL Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer, Dan Hurley right there, and basketball coach at Rhode Island. Big day here. Thanks to the XR4TI. Thank you to all of you for listening and watching. Episode 23, I believe, of the Jim Rome podcast, dropping later on today. Be sure to look for it. See you tomorrow. We're out.